So much happening, so much going on, and I want to just, in the time that we have, which is not a lot, try to walk through the introduction of something that is called Kingdom Builders. In November last year, John Carnacchio and I went to see this gentleman, Rob Ketterling, and Rob was hosted by the Assemblies of God World Missions. He's written a book called The Generous Life. I love the subtitle, Giving Meaning to Your Money. So that book is available. And we sat through and listened to his testimony and his approach. And very, very simply, let me just say that if nothing else gets communicated today, is that this is like faith promises on steroids, you know, faith promises. So what we've done in the past is that every year we have a missions banquet and we raise support for missions, home and foreign missions. And we do it through something that we call faith promises. And we just ask you to pray about a number that you believe that the Lord could increase you by. And you could then turn around and give it to missions. And what I like, there's so many things I like about faith promises, is that for one, it's like prayer with a purpose and giving with a purpose. But there's some limitations I'll mention in just a minute. Kingdom Builders is even beyond that, because there can be times when Cornerstone Fellowship wants to do an outreach, like last night. Thankfully, Carolyn just brought food and we, you know, put it together. We were able to take it out. But in when we've got Kingdom Builders functioning as it's designed, the money for that food could be purchased through Kingdom Builders. So we never raised money for that. That usually just comes out of the general fund, right? So I'm going to read a scripture, then I want to read to you one verse, and I want to use that verse as something that we're going to hold on to, and then at quarter after, we're going to have communion together here at the table. Let me just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. Judy, remember this verse? This is like God launched us with this verse, you know. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food so supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Paul's talking to a bunch of Gentiles, and he's talking to them about an offering that he's receiving to give to Jewish people back in Jerusalem. It's a beautiful thing that took place there. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service, the gift that was given to the Jews in Jerusalem, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings. So the goal of generosity is thanksgiving towards God. It's not just a way to finance things. It's generosity is supposed to increase people's thankfulness and gratitude towards God by what happens to them. But also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. That's Paul saying, you know, you are a bunch of pagans before you met Jesus. And while you were pagans, there were these Jewish people trying to serve God. And God sent his son. What an amazing gift. Not just for the Jew, but also for the pagans, the Gentiles. Jews and Greeks could both now have a new covenant with God in which the two of them became one through Christ. And through this amazing gift that we're about to celebrate here at the resurrection season, you know, next week's Palm Sunday already. My goodness. Through this amazing gift, you know, there is something incredible that has happened, and that is that the Jews who were taught to avoid the pagans so that they could continue to be devoted to God and not influenced by the pagan practices and worship. Now we have pagans who have received Christ, who was given to us from the Jewish God. And now these pagans who love Jesus are so grateful for the indescribable gift that God gave them that they want to give a gift to the Jews in Jerusalem. And they did. Can you imagine the Jewish believers in Jerusalem receiving food aid during a time of persecution and starvation? These Jewish believers in Jesus Christ received a gift from the pagans who had accepted Jesus. That's a little like the homeless walking in the back door and presenting a gift to you. And so the verse that I want you to hang on to is this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Say that with me. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. One more time. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I'm going to ask you to stand up with me right now. So the question is, which gift? Does it matter? It started with Jesus, but that's not where it ends. Lift your hands. Let's say together, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anyone besides me that a little bit thankful for Jesus? Oh, yeah. Yes. Amen. You may be seated. So I like shopping locally, don't you? I like dining locally, independent restaurants, don't you? I know we all stop at chains sometimes, you know, but that's usually when we're traveling. But I like supporting local business, don't you? I really do. I love, one of my favorite coffee suppliers is a local business. His coffee just went from $17.99 a pound to $19.99 a pound. $2. I thought 17 was a lot. My addiction is getting costly. You can go and buy cheap coffee somewhere if you want, you know, but not me. I like to have. Do you know my brother, John Carnacchio, buys me coffee at one of my favorite coffee shops every Sunday morning and brings it to me? What a guy. I like shopping locally because I love supporting local business. And I guess that's just one more reason why I love when people join the local church, because we worship locally, together, in a family. And I encourage every one of you who worship with us to make this your home, to make it your family. Let us encourage you. In fact, let us, you know, walk through life together with you and have a place you can call home. I love the local church. I can't really serve the whole body of Christ. Some people can, but I really don't get a chance to serve the whole body of Christ. But I can serve in this body of Christ. You know, it just touches my heart when someone just, you know, spontaneously brings food to a Jesus rally because they know that we're going to go and hand out food afterwards, you know. It's just so beautiful. I love hearing your stories, knowing you, knowing your testimony. I like when people get a chance to know me and my family, you know. I feel like that belonging to a local church is a little like buying from local business or supporting local business. So while we can worship globally by all kinds of means now, I'm just going to encourage you to also put down roots. Call Cornerstone your home. Find a home here. Find friends here, family here. And let's serve the Lord together. And one of the things that you and I will always need is a way in which to share in the load of reaching the world. We can do that locally. We can share together locally. So to point that out, I just want to read a letter that I received Someone get ready to take a picture. We're going to take a picture of me, okay, in just a minute, all right? This letter comes from Sun Power Ministries. Anybody know who they are? Pete and Fran Einstein. They're one of our home missions ministries that we support. Their prison ministry and more, Pete and Fran. Here's what the letter says. Dear Rich and Judy, at the last Sun Power Ministries board meeting, you, Rich, posed this question to me. How much longer do you see yourself doing this ministry? I asked Pete, how much longer can you do this, you know, keep doing what you're doing? I replied with an indeterminate answer, stating such factors as the following: as following the Lord's leading, and I'm still enjoying the journey and its challenges, plus seeing good fruit of being born from our efforts, both in churches and throughout the prison system. Which, by the way, he just gave me another testimony recently. They were able to get into Camp Hill, into that county prison recently, and which Camp Hill is like the processing center for people who are going to be spending some time in the prison system in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania. Something like 24 men responded to an invitation to receive Christ in one meeting over there recently. Yeah, all right. So Peter is saying, I didn't give you a definite answer, but, you know, one of them is there's still fruit being born. Then I believe I turned the same question in your direction At which time you mentioned a window of perhaps 3 to 5 years for leading the ministry at Cornerstone Fellowship, if memory serves. Last week, Fran and I revised and updated our will, which included giving monies to several ministries and organizations. Since God willing, we both plan to live for many more years, we decided to bless your kingdom endeavors sooner versus later to help you to finish well. Please accept this gift of $2,000 given to Cornerstone Fellowship to assist in your continuing ministry efforts. We love you and your congregation and wish nothing but the best that our sovereign God has to offer. Insert applause. Yeah? So, someone snap a picture, because today we're starting a fund called Kingdom Builders with this $2,000 gift. And we'll be shifting ministry missions and ministry efforts for outreach to that fund and through that fund. That's what we want to do together with you. So mark this date down, April the 27th. In this same sanctuary in which we're seated, we're going to be renovating it so that it seats all of you and many more around tables, and we'll have our banquet here. And instead of doing faith promises, I'm going to be asking you to prayerfully consider giving to the Kingdom Builders Fund and our missions work, our outreach effort in three different categories is going to come out of that fund, okay? So the first category would be for local missions. The second category would be for foreign or global missions. And the third category, one we haven't thought about much, is leadership development for tomorrow's harvest. Leadership development. So mark your calendar for April 27th. So why are we having this kind of a banquet instead of a faith promise? Let me just say this, that while the faith promise pledging system was good, and it was great for missions, it was great for especially foreign missionaries, but there was certain things that it was not great in. Let me give you one example. Judah Shelton is going to Honduras this spring, or summer, early summer. And now he hasn't come to me and asked for funding, you know, but he should. I mean, you know what I'm saying, is that he should be able to come to his home church and say, is there any chance that you would have funding to send, help to send me to Honduras, right? I mean, you know, part of missions is raising your own support and stuff like that. But wouldn't it be great if your home church helped you to go on a mission, you know, or helped to send you, so that they're not just praying for us, but they're actually supporting us? There's a great example of where faith promises, it doesn't really meet the need. The other thing is that ministries such as Love and Obey Ministries have not always found support in our faith promises. Ryan and Erica Onifer have a Saturday night ministry that they've been doing for years and years and years. And there's not really linkage to supporting them. But as they worship with us, wouldn't it be great if we could help to support them? So when we do faith promises, it just captures the pledging in a moment in time. And you have to wait then until the next time to raise more funds for helping more people. Does that make sense? So the beauty about this is it's really simple. It's like the first dollar after your tithe that you designate towards faith or kingdom builders will go into that fund, and people can join or opt into that fund at any time. Cool? All throughout the year, people joining the church, coming into the church, they can give anytime. They don't have to wait for another banquet, right? So like when we talk about kingdom builders, all we're thinking of is putting money together so that we can expand the kingdom of God together, all right? And as it grows, starting with a $2,000 check, as it grows, as we give into it, then we can take on more projects and help more people. Does that make sense? So the beauty of this is additionally that it encourages tithing. Now, I know that in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, we often, we flinch when we hear that word tithing because we think it's somehow connected to the old covenant. Well, it actually goes as far back as the Garden of Eden. In that garden, there were two trees. God said, you can eat freely of any of these trees, but there's two trees I want you to take note of. And one of them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I reserve for myself. That is like a tithe. That is like God saying, this is for me. Now, one thing that God didn't really want us to experience is the knowledge of evil. He only wanted us to experience the knowledge of good. So starting with that tree, he was saying, there's something that is reserved for me. That got communicated to Cain and Abel. Cain brought from the harvest that he had of the field, and he gave that gift. Now, that was a wonderful gift, but his brother Abel brought from the firstlings of the flock, which means that if he had 60 sheep, and between them, the first crop of babies were 14. They were 14 babies. That first crop, he presented that to God. First fruits gets tied into tithing, the thought of tithing, something reserved for God. God says, if you will honor me in this, I will honor you in that. So Abel and his offering was accepted. Cain and his offering was rejected. And before we spend too much time on it, let me just say that under Moses, there would be a place for a grain offering. There would be. But there was the first fruits that belonged to God. So tithing, which means tenth, which, by the way, God has never raised that. He's never raised his rates on us, you know. We're in a trade war right now, you know, raising tariffs and stuff like that on different people around the world. And they're raising them on us, and it's going to be dicey for a bit. We'll see how it all turns out. But God's never done that. He says, tenth is tenth. It means, you know, 10% of your income. So tithing goes all the way back to the garden. It happens in the first children. And then it happens in Abraham, where Abraham says, he swore to God that he would give a tenth of all that he increased to God. And that would be his contract with God. Then later Moses would come along and God says, the tenth is required, okay? So then we come to the New Testament, and people are like, okay, so all that Old Testament stuff is kind of gone. Like, how many of you know that there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that isn't gone? You know, like, adultery is not now legal. You know what I'm saying? Lying to each other is not now. You can't now murder someone. The grace of God is on me. I can just murder someone, you know? No. It was a principle that predated the old covenant. So therefore, tithing is an eternal principle that men and women of God have, through the years, testified that when they honored God with their first fruits, that God honored them with the 90%. Judy and I are living testimonies of that. Many of the others of you could account for this. So one of the things that is a little bit deficient with the faith promises is that people could make a faith promise and give to missions, but not tithe. So the tithe is for the local church and its mission so that we can do the other stuff. Does that make sense? Like, if we can't keep the lights on here, how are we going to keep the lights on for someone else in mission somewhere else? Yes, it's true that missionaries are counting on us. But brothers and sisters, we're counting on you to keep the lights on here. Does that make sense? I think it's only fair. Someone has said, it's been brought up, like, we just haven't talked about this much. You know, we stopped taking offerings during COVID. We stopped a lot of things during COVID, right? And we've only taken one offering in here since COVID, which was at Christmas Eve, just this past year. You know, so we're going to begin taking offerings again. You can use tithely. I'm not sure exactly how to make you feel like you put something in the bag if you used online giving. All I can say is that that's between you and God, you know? Never feel ashamed. Some people still like paper money. Some people still like checks. We like gold, you know, bullion and you know, silver coins and, you know, fast cars and things, you know. But what we want to do with this kingdom builder is that every dollar that you believe the Lord wants you to give past your tithes goes into kingdom builders. And we're going to ask you to either consider giving yearly or monthly or however it works for you. But on April 27th, what we want to do is get an idea where we're at. So we're going to start with $2,000 that's been sent to us. And then we're going to ask the rest of us to consider praying about an amount that God would entrust to us, and then we would entrust it to the church for kingdom builders. And we can actually do something far greater together. I'm going to let you in a little secret. The Lord has given me a number, what I believe that He wants to put into our hands within 10 years. It's pretty cool. I just think God wants to do so much more. By the way, before we end, let me just say that we are currently supporting 10 home missions projects and another dozen foreign mission projects, each at the amount of $685 a month. In total, we're giving $16,000, $16,440 to missions from this church per year. Can you stand up for just a second? Can I congratulate you? That's an amazing number. Now, I'm just thinking, 16,440. We've just been given $2,000. What if it worked out to, by the end of the year, we raised $20,000, you know? I mean, you know, more could be done, right? But let me congratulate you on what you have done. It's amazing. The amount of money that God has given to this assembly to pass on through to. Well, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God. Just lift your hands and let's thank the Lord. Father, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I thank you in advance for how you're going to provide. I thank you in advance for how you're going to bless our families. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every question that we have will get adequate answers, and in time we'll all see together that you've given us a chance to reset our support of expanding the kingdom of God on the earth. In Jesus' name we pray.